Wow. Thank you so much, ladies. That was absolutely fantastic. I hope we remember, folks, that that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? The reason that we celebrate is naturally not about the trees and that, but it's about Jesus. And I hope in all of our celebrations that we don't forget, as today we are looking at the fourth candle, which is the candle of love, the love that Christ showed us. While we were yet sinners, the Bible said, Christ died for us. You're going to have to forgive me here this morning because I guess I wasn't really thinking. And I know that's strange for me, but I was thinking for some reason this is the third Sunday of Advent, not the fourth. So we're going to pretend this is Sunday 3. Are you okay with that? Okay, and makes Sunday 4, because I prepared a sermon not on love, but I prepared a sermon on the third Advent, the third candle, which is, anybody know? Joy. My slide's not up. There you go, Christmas joy. There you go. Very good, very good. You know, I'm wearing my pink shirt this morning, and it has a little bit of a stain on it, but that's okay. That's okay. I've been blessed by little Zachariah. I mean, thank the good Lord for this guy. But I'm wearing the pink shirt because the third candle in the Advent wreath is supposed to be pink. Did you know that? Okay, there you go. Thank you. So let's pretend it's pink. You gotta use your imagination. And pink, believe it or not, focuses on joy. It symbolizes joy. Now, don't you just get a rush of joy when you see my pink shirt? Come on. You're all over that, and I see I'm not alone. There's some of you out there that are wearing pink. It's great. And I'm not just wearing pink because real men wear pink, according to the Cancer Society, but I'm wearing pink to symbolize this. Now, remember times of joy in your life. Okay, guys, think back your first child. You remember? You remember that you went into the bedroom and first of all, you painted it blue. You got it all perfect. You went to IKEA and you bought the crib. Took you 16 hours to put it together, but you got the crib. Your wife went to the hospital. You had a baby girl. You went back home, painted it pink. Remember that? But you remember the joy that you felt when you had your first child? Remember the joy you felt when you gave your child that perfect gift for Christmas and the joy that they felt. I was thinking about Christmas and I was thinking about that perfect gift. You remember years ago where it was a big deal that everybody wanted a Tickle Me Elmo? Do you remember that? Yeah, everybody, they were going mad to find a Tickle Me Elmo. Do you know what the gift is this year? See, there you go. The kids know. They're Hatchimals. There you go. Hatchimals are, I don't quite understand it, okay? I'll be honest. I don't understand it. But you get this egg, okay? And what you do is you take care of this egg, and you nurture it, and you keep it warm and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, it opens up, and you get this animal. I think I got a picture of the animal, the next thing. Next slide. Maybe I don't. So you open it, and you got to take care of this animal for the next while. By the way, the Hatchimals, if you go and buy them in Walmart down in the States, I found that they're going for just a small amount of $240 each. Yeah. You can get them on Amazon for $209. But the crazy thing is they're sold out everywhere. I went on eBay. Okay, you ready for this? I went on eBay and I found a Hatchimal for sale. For those that are waiting for the last moment, all you got to pay for this Hatchimal is a measly $15,000. Yeah. So that's the latest thing out there right now. So the Christmas joy when you give them a Hatchimal and the joy when you look into your pocket or your bank account and it is completely empty, right? You know what I'm talking about. Hey, listen, Christmas is about joy, okay? And there hopefully are other things that brings us joy. How many of you were in Guildford trying to find a parking spot in the last couple of weeks? How many of you tried to get to the upper level parking lot and it was closed? How many of you said they are absolutely insane? It's Christmas time and went to the customer service and the complaint. Now, don't say that one, okay?
But when you find that parking spot, you know what I'm talking about. But let's talk about real joy here for a second. Let's go and look at where joy, the first joy and Christmas actually came together. And we're going to jump to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 8 to 20. Why don't we stand for the reading of God's word here this morning? Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. You know it very, very, very well. You could probably recite it. And says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy.'" I'm just seeing if you're with me. "Of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, come on, let's read it together. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. They were just as they had been told. Father, thank you. Thank you that Christmas does, in fact, bring joy, true joy. Not just a fleeting happiness that comes when we open up that right gift or whatever that happiness may be. But God, that we can experience the ultimate joy that you have for us. And as we look into this passage here today, I pray in Jesus' name, guide us, Father. Help us to hear what you have to say. Father, open up our hearts and our minds. Let it not just be some words, but let it be life that would be poured into our hearts, that would mature in our hearts and our lives and develop fruit in us so that we would be more effective for the kingdom of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So when we look at Christmas joy, when that first Christmas and joy came together, there's a few things we got to focus on. First of all, in order to experience that joy, we got to focus on the marvelous. Hey, listen, have you ever noticed that we tend to gravitate to bad news, right? I mean, turn on your radio and listen to a newscast, and majority of the stuff you hear on there is not good news. Am I correct? Right? So you go to the mall, and you go and pick up these trash magazines. Nobody buys those trash magazines in here. Don't put up your hand. But there's those magazines, the gossip stuff, right? And they pick it up, and most of the time, it's stuff that is just weird and bizarre and just not good stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And we wonder why so many times we are not filled with joy, because we fill our lives with the negative stuff. Well, see, there is some marvelous news that the shepherds were given. And here it is, Luke 2, it says that the shepherds were in the fields, and the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Isn't that marvelous? Amen. Amen. I mean, that's good news, right? Now, some of you are going, okay, I'm trying to track. But you lost me a little bit here, Wes. So he said there's good news. What was it? What was it? What's the deal here? So let me fill you in on a little bit of history. So here is a group of guys out on the fields known as shepherds. Now, just so you are aware, and most of you know this, the shepherd really was an outcast to some extent. He wasn't necessarily someone that was highly educated, and the work that he did basically made him unclean. So I want you to imagine now, you are in a place that you could not participate in some of the most important activities that your friends are participating in. So back then, see, everything, all the entertainment was wrapped around the temple. But because you are unclean as a shepherd, you can't even go into the temple. So you're missing out the parties. You're missing out the celebrations. You're missing out all the good stuff that's going on down there because you're unclean and you can't even get clean because you're always with the sheep. You're always in that area. It's not a good place to be. So God sees this and he says, I'm going to bring the party to you. Come on. He says, I'm going to bring the party to you. So what happens? You hear it. You see it. All of a sudden, there is an angel. And it's not just an angel. It's a whole choir of angels worshiping and singing unto God. I mean, I love listening to, how many of you went and saw the singing Christmas tree? Any of you? I mean, that's pretty much, I think, Nicole, you were involved with it at one point in time in your life. And that's quite spectacular. Can you imagine a whole choir having, James, imagine, where are you? James Caswell. There he is. Imagine your choir, perfect pitch, angels singing. Can you just be sitting back and going, glory to God, because it's great, right? And so this is what the shepherds were experiencing. Can somebody say marvelous? It was an incredible experience. But see, folks, I want you to get something here. The marvelous thing was not just that he come to the shepherds. The marvelous thing is that God came not to the prestigious, not to the ones that we'd go first to. See, you got good news that you want to spread. You probably go to News 1130 or someplace where you get it spread real good and fast. See, the angels, they didn't go to the king. They didn't go to the priest. They didn't even go to the innkeeper. I mean, just imagine. The angel walking up to the innkeeper and saying, hey, listen, there's a couple coming your way. They've got the Messiah. We'll talk about that in a minute. So you're going to make some room there, mister. That slob in room 203, kick him out because this is the king and you got to make room. The angels didn't even come to the innkeeper. They came to a group of outcasts, a group of people standing up there on a hill. And, you know, I thought about that, and I thought, you know, what was it about the shepherds? And we can talk about a lot of things, and I'm sure you've got a lot of answers to this. But one of the things that I find so incredible when you look at the Christmas story is that there was a group of people that were available. A group of people that were available to hear from God. And I guess that's the point, isn't it? Is that, see, God still has a message. He still has marvelous news for us today, folks. He really does. But how many times do we get so wrapped up in life, so wrapped up in everything else that we don't have time just simply to listen? See, here's how I know that we don't take time to listen. I want you to examine your own life in this. How much time do we give every day to be quiet before the Lord? Now you think about that for yourself. How much time do I take a day to go into the Word of God, to open its pages, to say, God, what do you have to say? Reading it, talking to him, and then just being quiet before the Lord. My guess is, we probably take more time cursing the driver in front of us than we take in silence before the Lord. Now, I could be wrong, but see, we've got to be in that place where we can hear before he actually speaks. Are you following me? So there is a marvelous message, but we got to focus on that message, folks, if we want to have the Christmas joy. Secondly, joy comes when we focus on, of course, the Messiah. And I want to take a little bit more time here on this point because I think that we often read this and we graze right over it and we don't really take time to really take it in. Graze right over it. There you go. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says this, "Today, the angel says, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." been many, many years since the first promise. And they had waited and waited for some sort of hope. They remember so well what was told that first man and that first woman. See, they messed up. They sinned. They let God down. They did it their way and tried to be like God. And they were cast out. But the promise was that somewhere down the road, one of their ancestors would crush that serpent's head. So they waited and they waited and they waited. There were those during that time that tried to bring about some sort of hope, some sort of relief, some sort of answer to this promise. There were the Maccabees. There was Judas the Zealot. There was Eleazar, son of Ananias. There was a few different others and people groups that came together and tried to somehow, in their own strength, to overcome this opposition, but to no avail. They were still looking for that deliverer, the Messiah, as they called him, or the Anointed One, and he had still yet to come. Now listen, here was the promise that was said to the shepherds. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A child is born. A child, and it's not just any child. This is the Christos. This is the Messiah. Christos being another word that means Messiah. And I want you to get the significance of this, folks, because if we miss this point, we miss the incredible thing that happened that first Christmas day. See, there was a promise given to Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were supposed to fulfill God's obligation on the planet, and they fell short. From there, that promise was passed on to a man named Abraham. And Abraham did his best to walk in faith, did his best to show the example to the people around, but it still fell short. That promise then went to a nation of people that were delivered. You know the story, the Israelites, and they fell incredibly short. They did the different sacrifices and ceremonies, but it never came to a fulfillment. It always fell short. And then one day, over 4,000 years later, a message came to a group of shepherds. And I want you to get this. The message was this, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Today, come on, are you tracking me? Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Today. Now, I don't know if you can grasp the weight of that. 4,000 years of waiting. And an angel said, today. Now, I don't know how you feel when you hear a good news. I don't know how you feel when you're told that your operation that you've been waiting for so long, it's going to happen this week. You've been waiting for weeks, months, maybe even a year, and you're told it's going to happen. I don't know how you feel when you find that your son arrives back from England, and he's back here for a period of time. How do you feel about that? Alan, it's great to have you back, by the way, if you don't know who I'm talking about. But the joy that's there, but think 4,000 years, the Messiah has been born to you. And you know, the angel goes beyond that. He doesn't just say he's just the Messiah. He uses another word. He uses the word soteri. Soteri means a savior, a one that will deliver, that will rescue you from evil, from danger, or destruction. In today's terms, In today's terms, it is the allies coming together at Aleppo and pulling these people out of that country, out of that city, and bringing them to safety. In today's terms, it is the rescuers going digging through the rubble of Indonesia and pulling out the survivors, the ones that were buried, that had absolutely no hope. That's what Savior means in our terms. And it means a king that was sent from heaven to this planet to deliver an entire world from their sin. Folks, that should get us excited. And that's the message, the hope that we have. The Messiah has come today. You know what? What grieves me, folks, is that I've said this to someone this week. It's very sad that Christmas is the only birthday where everyone else gets a present but the birthday boy. Isn't it true? I mean, there's nothing wrong with giving gifts to each other. I think that's wonderful. But I'm wondering what we're giving to the Christ, child. See, he doesn't want a lot. He wants our love. He wants our commitment. Well, maybe that is a lot. He wants our devotion to him. He wants us to give unto him as well, because he gave everything to us. But how many times do we not make room for the Messiah in our life during Christmas? There was a lady that was going shopping with her little three-year-old boy. And she was walking through the store. She was in a rush. She left it way too late. Nobody's left a Christmas shop until now, right? Is there anyone that has left a Christmas? Don't put your hands up. You did? Did you know that? Did you know that Shane left his Christmas? Wow. She was one of these. She was like a Shane. So she was walking through the malls, running around and with her little three-year-old boy, looking at stuff, trying to find those perfect gifts. And as she was looking at something, all of a sudden she noticed her son wasn't there. Now, I don't know if you ever lost a kid. I can say that I probably have more than once. But all of a sudden, he's gone. And she is frantic. She's looking all over the place. She's trying to find him. She finally finds him. He is at another store looking at the storefront. And in the storefront, there is a nativity scene. And she says, listen, we got to go. What are you doing? Why would you do this? And he says to her, Mommy, look, it's baby Jesus in the manger. And her words were the words that I think that many people subconsciously say. We need to go. We have no time for that. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Is because Christmas has become about you and about me. And it's not about you and me. It's about Jesus. Listen, your salvation is not about you feeling good about yourself. It's about Jesus. And until we come to a place where we are focusing on who the whole story is about from beginning to the very end, we're not going to get it. It's not for you. It's not for me. It's about Jesus. And it's about the Messiah. And see, that is the message. That's my third point. Luke chapter 10, 2 verse 10 says this. I bring you good news of great joy that will be all for all people. What was the good news? What was he talking about? It was not that God was sending a soldier or a judge to reform the whole nation at that time, but he was sending a savior to the planet to meet man's greatest need in a world that was war-torn and in complete chaos. Since 27 BC, at that time, the people were enjoying what was known as the Pax Romana, or the Roman peace. So at that time, Rome brought in complete peace from war. But see, an absence of war doesn't guarantee peace, does it? There was a Stoic philosopher by the name of Didicus said this. He said, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart, for many man yearns more than ever for outward peace, for which many men yearns more than anything else than outward peace. We need that inner peace, folks. See, I love the word that the Hebrews use when they do a greeting. And that's the word, does anybody know? Shalom, shalom. And they don't, you know, we do it all wrong. We go up to someone and say, hey, how you doing? And we don't care. Like, come on, let's be honest. Do you really care how that person is doing? Maybe you do. Maybe you're better than myself. But a lot of time we just go, hey, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? Fine, and away we go. Sometimes we even do it this way. You never have done this. We go, hey, how you doing? And away we walk. You know what I'm talking? And they're broken. They need somebody to talk to. Of course, we don't have time for that. But the Hebrews use the word shalom, which means peace to you, or the actual complete a saying is shalom alechem, which means peace be unto you. And they're not talking about peace as far as having freedom from battle or all that stuff. It means a well-being. It means health, prosperity, security, soundness, and completeness be unto you. See, it has more to do with character than it has to do with circumstances. Our character must be filled with peace, even though around us the circumstances are not very peaceful. So let me take you back. Let me take you back to a man by the name of David. You remember David? He's in the Old Testament, just in case you forgot. So let me look at David for a minute here. Here is a man that was truly a man of war. We understand that, right? I mean, David, they spoke of David that he slayed his 10,000s while Saul slayed his 1,000. So he was a man of war. Can you imagine David, when you look at David and Goliath? So he goes out, he slays this 9-foot giant, and the scripture tells us that he goes out, he slays this guy, he cuts off his head, okay? And then, if you don't believe me, read it. Samuel chapter 17, verse 53. He takes this head. He doesn't just leave it there, but he carries it around. And he carries it into Jerusalem, the capital city. He carries this head into the city. Can you imagine? Hey, David, what you got there? Oh, I just got a head. Isn't that great? All right, there we go. So he was a man of war. And he lived in a very warring time, but yet he was also a man of great peace. Psalm 23, you all know it. Verse 2 says, he leads me to rest in green pastures, or he lets me rest in green pastures. He leads me beside peaceful waters. He restores my soul. Can you see him? Can you see David just laying back on the grass, the sheep around, chewing on a piece of grass like any good farmer does, and just enjoying tranquility? See, that is a man that understands peace. See, here's the thing. You could be in an incredible place of turmoil all around, but can we be at peace in our heart? And see, that comes not by you somehow conjuring up. It comes by focusing on this Christ child. It comes by focusing on Jesus, the one who truly brings us peace. See, that's where joy is found. But in order for us to truly experience joy, brings me to my last point. We have to focus on a mandate. See, true joy comes when we share the message of joy to others. You remember the shepherds? Back to Luke chapter 2. They were standing there and they heard the angels singing. And for those of you that were here 2 weeks ago, for those that weren't here, you don't get it. They heard, and so they made their way unto Bethlehem, for those that were here for that little skit. And they saw Jesus, and it said in verse 17 of Luke chapter 2, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed of what the shepherd said to them. I don't know if you know this, but in that time, a shepherd could not be a witness in court. I don't know why. Maybe because they were unclean, but they, as far as their job was concerned. But here's the thing. The angels come, and they give the message. So they're the first messenger about the birth of Jesus. And then they give that message to the very, very first people that begin to share it, the very first witnesses, and that was the shepherds. And they go out and they began to share the message. And you know what? I want you to know something. Those first shepherds, or those shepherds on that first Christmas, they really became the voice of the angels, weren't they? They became the angels. And you know what's really neat? Is that you and I are that voice today. You know that person sitting right next to you? They're an angel. Hey, why don't you tell them that they're an angel? Just tell the person next to you that they're an angel. Not an actual fact, okay, but they'll appreciate it. We have been given the message of hope that was passed on from the angels to us today, the message of good news. And as I said before, we all love good news. We love hearing. And you know what? For those that are doctors, I can't see Dr. Isaac. Are you in the building here someplace? There he is. Like, it must be fun for you. Like, I would love to be you and being able to tell a patient they're cancer-free. Like, that's got to be fun. I mean, you do that once in a while, don't you? Yeah, yeah. Now, it's great, isn't it? Please, work with me here a little bit. It must be great to be able to tell some good news to someone. It's good. Listen, I'm going to give you good news someday. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. One day, I'm going to stand up on this stage, and I'm going to say, folks, the $50,000 they're waiting for has come in, and you're going to clap. I know you will, and we'll have cake. Sonia, we'll have cake. Okay? But it's great to give good news, to spread the good news. And you should be spreading the good news, because this is good news, folks. This is good news that Christ has come to deliver people from their sin and give them hope for an eternity. And we as believers, we should be the first to be excited about that kind of good news. There is a church down in the States a number of years ago, a Presbyterian church. They don't believe in saying hallelujah and all that stuff that much. I'm glad we can say hallelujah and we have no problem with that, right? Thank you. I like that. So the pastor was thinking one Sunday, he was thinking, man, we got to get these folks engaged. Because they're falling asleep during the sermon, and we got to somehow get them to express their joy during the sermon. So he gave everybody a balloon, a helium balloon. And he said to the congregation, he said, this is what I want you to do. During the sermon, during the service, even during when we worship, when you feel just a real sense of joy, let go of your balloon and let it float up to the ceiling. So all through the service, people were worshiping. They didn't raise their hands or anything. But every time they kind of felt a real sense of, oh, wow, thank you, God, they let go of their balloon. And balloons went up through the service. Every time the pastor said something good, balloons went up. Not as many went up during his sermon, but they went up. The sad thing was, at the end of the sermon, a third of the balloons were still in people's hands. Let go of your balloon. Folks, let go of your balloon. I beg of you, get out and share the message of joy. Get out there and tell someone what Jesus has done for you. Because see, here's what happens. We become so complacent and life becomes humdrum because we're not sharing. I've said it many times from this pulpit. Water that is standing still becomes stagnant. But water that flows is fresh. Let the power of God flow through you, that you remain fresh and share what God has done for you. See, I think there's there's a lot of people in the church that are like Eeyore. Do you remember Eeyore? No, I like Eeyore. I think he's cute. But his, and I got this, I quote straight from Winnie the Pooh. And you want to write this down somewhere. Poor old me. I can't do it like Eeyore. I'm so sad, depressed, and miserable. Having a bad day. What about tomorrow? It'll probably be worse. Don't you guys love being around people like that? Hallelujah, they encourage you, right? We need Tiggers. Come on, we need Tiggers in the church. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! You know what Tigger does? He jumps around and always making a joyful sound. We need people that are excited about the things of God. Now, you're not always going to jump around and go, woo-hoo! When things are bad, there are bad things that we face. But can we, in the middle of it, in the middle of all the stuff, can we maintain the joy of the Lord? Because that will happen, folks, when we focus on the right stuff. That will happen when we get our focus off of the stuff around us, of the problems around us, of the situations around us. In Luke chapter 2, and I close with this. It's at the last part of Luke chapter 2. It says that shepherds returned, praising God for all that they had heard and seen. The shepherds went back to their regular work. That hadn't changed, but something did. It was an attitude. It was what God had done in their hearts. See, God is still calling you to go to work tomorrow morning. Snow or not, it's going to stop. Praise God. Hallelujah. It will stop. He's calling you to go back to your regular life. But can you go into that day? Can you go into the week? Can you go into your life having experienced the presence and the power of Almighty God? Thank you. Can we have that attitude and say, God, in spite of everything else, my focus will be on you. I'm going to call Tracy up here, and we're gonna spend some time in worship. We're gonna take up our offering a little bit later on, but we're gonna do something here. We've got time. It's 11:42. Oh no, it's 11:47. Is that clock like really that slow? Okay. Well, we're gonna pray anyways. We're gonna get you to stand. So we're going to do something a little bit different because we've got a few minutes before we actually, we're going to take up our missions offering here. And if you're here today and there are areas in your life where you're saying, God, I need strength. Maybe it's a physical thing that you need healing from. Maybe it's an emotional thing you need encouragement in. Maybe it's a silent thing. Whatever it is, there's something you just need prayer for. This is your family. Can you take a look around you? You see the beautiful people all around you? They're your family. And what we're going to do is we're going to take about 2 minutes. And these guys are going to play. And what I want you to do is if you're some area in your life you need prayer for something that you need prayer for, can I get you to put your hand up? Okay, there's got to be more than one person, two people. Put your hand up. Leave them up. Look around. You see the hands? If you don't have your hand up, you see people that do, okay? I want you to take a couple minutes, go to them. Come on, let's take a few minutes, go to them. There's about three people in one spot right here. Can you guys spread out? Can you guys just spread out a little bit? John, can you come this way so that more people can pray for you over here? Yeah, so Shane's got had his hand up. You want to pray for him? And so let's gather around these people and let's just spend a few minutes in prayer and pray specifically for their needs here today.